to the midweek message and live stream of Grace Life Bible Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I'm glad that you chose to come out and be a part of the live stream this evening, setting aside some time for that. We got a couple people that are joining us right now on YouTube, as well as a few on Facebook. So we want to welcome all of you to the midweek message for this week. Again, I'm Pastor Brian Ross from Grace Life Bible Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And I'm coming to you from my office here at my house. An ever-growing number of volumes in the library here, I might add. I made a second trip today, or this week, over to Pastor Lee Himoki's and went through some more of his books and moved some to the church to create an archive there with some historical information in it, and then brought home some stuff here from my library that I'm going through and trying to organize. So anyway, filling you in there on a couple things. If you would, for this evening, get your Bible and open to Philippians chapter 2. The topic that I want to address this evening is the topic of murmuring. As you know, if you're paying attention at all to what's going on on social media and just in general with folks, there's a lot of murmuring. Address this evening is murmuring, and folks just seem to be generally very out of sorts these days, out of sorts with the government, out of sorts with their church, out of sorts with each other, out of sorts with other believers, a lot of that going on. And I wanted to focus on some things here about this topic. There's nothing new about this that I'm going to teach that I haven't necessarily talked about before. But I'm doing this as a reminder about what the Scriptures have to say about this and the issue of corrupt communication, evil speaking, etc. And murmuring is in that category. It's a form of evil speaking that the Bible addresses. So look with me at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, start with verse 12. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And then here's the part that I want to focus on. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. All things. That would be everything. All things is an all-encompassing phrase. It's not saying all things except this thing over here, or that thing that I don't like over there, or this person that I'm upset with, or you know, this policy, or this legislation, or this action, or whatever. It says do all things without murmurings and disputings. Murmurings and disputings should not be a characteristic of a believer and how we are going about our daily lives. Now, let me say to you, and let me be honest, upfront and frank, you know, I can murmur with the best of them, okay? I can get upset, I can get in the flesh, and I can murmur, and I can, you know, do my fair share of whining, crying, et cetera, and carrying on. So it's not like I'm sitting here and saying, you know, that I'm totally immune from this, because I'm not. And I think that's why we need to be reminded of these things. So Paul gives this instruction here about murmuring, and he says to do all things without murmurings and disputings. So murmuring, I want to talk a little bit about murmuring. Murmuring is a form of complaining. So this is what murmuring is. It's a form of complaining that harbors a negative attitude toward a situation or person. Okay, so it's a form of complaining that harbors a negative attitude toward a situation or person. You know, so murmuring is like what my kids do under their breath when I ask them to go, you know, take out the garbage or, you know, whatever. It's that low, non-discernible muttering that you know somebody has something to say, but they're saying it under their breath, and they're saying it at a level of speech that you can hear something is being said, but you can't necessarily discern or make out what's being said. Murmuring runs the continuum from griping about the slow driver in front of you, okay? And again, I'll raise my hand for that one, all right? The slow driver in front of you, or murmuring against the Lord for all the negative things in your life. So you can run the gamut. Murmuring can run the gamut between about that guy in front of you that's driving, and it can run all the way to complaining against the Lord for things that you don't like in the way they're going on in your life. Okay, but the common factor in all murmuring is a critical spirit. A critical spirit is the basis for murmuring. All right, and I'm going to show you that from the scriptures here as we get going. But before we get, I want to just give you a couple stats or statistics. The Bible uses different words. In your King James Bible, you'll find at least three different words, okay? You'll find the word murmur, all right? Now, when I was in my English class in high school, we learned about something called onomatopoeia. Onomatopoeia is a literary phrase, literary word to describe words that, a particular kind of word that actually sounds like what it's describing. So I think murmur is an example of this, right? So if somebody's murmuring, they're they're murmuring under their breath, they're making noise. It's not necessarily, you can hear them uttering noises, but it's done in a way that it's not necessarily discernible, as I already said. So the word murmur occurs 9 times in 8 verses in the King James Bible. The word murmured, the past tense, occurs 19 times in 19 verses in the King James Bible. And murmuring, the ing on the end, occurs 2 times in 2 verses, okay? So if you look up the base, so the base word there is the word murmur. Whether you put the ed on the end or you put the ing on the end, okay, in English. So if you look up the word murmur in a Noah Webster's American Dictionary of the English Language, this is what it's going to tell you the word murmur means, okay? Number one, a complaint half suppressed. So it's a complaint, but it's half suppressed, or uttered in a low, muttering voice. That's the first definition of the word murmur. Second, to grumble, to complain, to utter complaints in a low, half-articulated voice, to utter sullen discontent with at, before the thing which is the cause of discontent, as murmur, not at sickness, or with, at, or against, before the active agent which produces the evil. So murmuring is that grumbling, that, just that strife that somebody has, and you know they're saying something, but they're saying it in a way in front of you that you just can't make it out. This is the definition of, the base definition of the English word murmur. Now, if you take the dictionary also defines a murmurer. A murmurer is one who complains sullenly, a grumbler. There's also a definition for murmuring with the ing, and it is uttering complaints in a low voice or sullen manner, grumbling, complaining. Okay? Now, nowhere in Scripture is murmuring more graphically depicted than in the case of the children of Israel as they leave Egypt and are on their way to the promised land. So come with me if you would to Exodus 15. Come with me if you would to Exodus chapter 15. We want to look at Exodus chapter 15. So we want to look at a practical example of this. Paul emphatically states in Philippians chapter 2, where we started, that the body of Christ, believers today, members of the body of Christ, are to do all things without murmuring or complaining. Okay? So Let's go to Exodus chapter 15. Now, in the context of the book of Exodus chapter 15, at the end of Exodus chapter 14, the previous chapter, Israel has crossed the Red Sea. The armies of Pharaoh have followed Israel across the Red Sea, according to the text. The Red Sea has crushed down upon the armies of Pharaoh and destroyed the armies here. So let's just look at that in the beginning of chapter 15. So look with me at chapter 15, verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. So this is a song of victory, of the victory that God has provided for Israel here from the hands of Pharaoh and the Egyptians. Verse 2. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war, the Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them, and they sank to the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, has dashed in pieces the enemy. So this chapter starts out, Exodus 15 starts off with this song of triumphant victory that Israel sings, having just watched and witnessed the deliverance of God from the hand of the Egyptians. Okay? Now, I want you to drop down with me now to verse 23. Okay? And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. Now look at verse 24. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Notice how quickly they forget. Notice how quickly they forget what they just sang in this first 6-7 verses of this chapter, where they're praising the Lord for the great and glorious victory, delivering them from the hands of the Egyptians and killing Pharaoh, and this great deliverance that God brought to the children of Israel. We're not even out of the same chapter yet, and they're already starting to murmur against Moses. They're already complaining against Moses. They've witnessed the destruction and the victory, the military victory that God has provided to them through delivering them through the Red Sea, and they immediately start complaining. Isn't that just like us as humans? I mean, one of the things, if I'm sort of confessing my sins, one of the things that frustrates me about myself is that I tend to see things, I tend to overemphasize the negative things and not rejoice for the positive things. And I know I'm not the only one that's like that. But here's Israel doing that, and they start murmuring, okay? So that's chapter 15, verse 24. Come with me to chapter 16. Chapter 16, look at verse 1. And they took their journey. By the way, does God provide them water there? We didn't read it, but does he provide the water? Yeah, he does. Okay, chapter 16. And they took their journey from Elim. All the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after the departing out of the land of Egypt. So it's only been a month and a half since they've left Egypt. Okay, verse 2. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Okay. How would you feel right there if you're Moses? The complaining is incessant. The murmuring is incessant. It's just, it's unrelenting. Verse 7, and in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for he heareth your murmurings against the Lord, and what are we that ye murmur against us? So in murmuring against Moses and Aaron, they're really murmuring against who? They're really murmuring against the Lord. And Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full. For the Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. That's an interesting thing to think about. If we're instructed by our apostle in Philippians 2 to do all things without murmurings and disputings, when I or somebody else goes out and does that, we're really disobeying the Lord, aren't we? I mean, we're really just wanting to have it our way and wanting to complain and wanting to murmur and wanting to, and then, you know, once you start murmuring, we'll see in a little while, murmuring turns into other types of evil speaking and corrupt communication. And this stuff has a tendency to sort of snowball that way. Come to Exodus 17. Come over to Exodus 17. Verse 3. Now, this one's fascinating. And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, Wherefore is it that thou hast brought us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? Now, what's interesting about this is, has God already provided water for them back in chapter end of chapter 15? So here they are again, and they've had supernatural deliverance. They've seen all the plagues of Egypt. They've had supernatural deliverance through the Red Sea. They sang the victorious battle song there at the beginning of chapter 15. And then they murmur about not having water in chapter 15. They murmur about not having food in chapter 16. Now we're in chapter 17, and they're murmuring again about not having water. It's like, when are they going to decide to trust God? When are they going to decide to just have faith that God's got them, that God has taken care of them this far? He's brought them, you know, out of the land of Egypt, out of slavery, and so on and so forth, right? Verse 4, Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. So it got, I mean, you really get a glimpse there into what's going on for Moses. I mean, Moses, the people are so mad at Moses, Moses perceives that they're ready to kill him, to stone him. Verse 5, and the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people, and take with thee the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river. Take in thine hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, and that the people may drink. And Moses did in the sight of all the elders, and he called the name of the place Massah, and so forth. So again, does God deliver them? Okay. So come with me now, if you would, over to Numbers. Come over to the book of Numbers, and let's go to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. So we're seeing some things here about murmuring, about complaining, right? And again, I'm choosing to address this because this seems like the mindset of where a lot of people are at with things that are going on right now. And we just need to sort of refocus our attention on some things here from the scriptures. Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. Verse 1, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Okay, so we need to understand why. So go back into chapter 13 and let's go to verse 26. Okay, now this is the spies have been sent into the promised land to spy it out. And now they've come back at the end of chapter Numbers chapter 13, and they're given their report. Okay, verse 27. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land to the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are able to overcome it. So Caleb's the one here acting by faith, right? But when the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, okay, which they had searched unto the children of Israel. So their report, notice that their report is evil. The text says that their report is evil. They are giving an evil report of what they saw, okay, and of what's going on. The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that saw it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came of the giants, and we were in their own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. So that's their evil report. Now, has God promised them this land? Had they seen God deliver miraculously through the Red Sea back in Exodus chapter 15, right? So this is the context now for chapter 14. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. So, think about everything that's happened up to this point, okay? They're on the precipice of going into the land. God is not going to take this very kindly. Look at verse 27. Look at verse 27, Numbers 14, 27. How long shall I bear with this evil congregation with murmurs against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. So God's upset about it. Verse 27, Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. So God's going to punish them for this. God's gonna punish them by causing everyone above 20 years old to perish and die in the wilderness for participating in this murmuring against the Lord. Now, I'm glad that I'm not under the law. I'm glad that I'm under grace, right? During this current dispensation of grace that we live in. But understand, I mean, murmuring is still a problem. God's not going to, you know, cause us to, you know, have to wander in the wilderness or whatever for murmuring, but it's still a sign of lack of thanksgiving and ingratitude. Verse 36, And all the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by the bringing up of a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report unto the land, died by the plague before the Lord. So, God's taking this seriously, okay? Now, there's a couple of things here that I want to draw out some aspects here of this murmuring for you to think about, all right? So, out of this context here of Numbers 13 and Numbers 14. The first one is this. Murmuring ignores God's potential. Murmuring ignores God's potential. The report of the 10 spies reflected a godless perspective. That was the unbelieving perspective. The negative evil report against the land was not the view of faith. The view of faith was Joshua and Caleb, who were like, nope, God's given us the land. We need to just go up there and take it because God's with us, right? So murmuring ignores God's potential. God, and think about what we've already seen. Had God already caused them to get water, supernaturally provided water and food for the whole time they were in the wilderness, and now again they reach this point and they doubt. Okay, they're doubting what they've seen God do. God had opened the sea to save them, the heavens to feed them, and the rocks to provide them with water, as I just said. He had defeated mighty armies throughout their wilderness trek, and certainly he could have dealt with the problems that presented themselves in the land according to the report. So the murmuring ignores God's potential, number one. Number two, murmuring is born in the context of evil reports. It's an evil report. Go back to chapter 13, verse 32. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched out under the children of Israel, saying, The land which we have gone to search it, is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. So murmuring is born out of evil reports. This, the sin of the tongue, if you will, evil speech, or murmuring, I should say. There's evil reports that are spread. There's a slander against the land, a misrepresentation, a false witness, then created the environment for the murmuring of chapter 14 to thrive. So, like I alluded to earlier, when we get into evil and corrupt communication, these things have a tendency to snowball into each other and become bigger and bigger and bigger problems. Number three, a murmuring spirit is quick to jump to the wrong conclusion. Okay? The grumbling Israelites blamed God for their situation and even started to plan a return to Egypt. Look at verse 3. Wherefore, chapter 14, verse 3. Wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land? So they're blaming God to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey. Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? And look at verse 4. And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return to Egypt. So, not only do they blame God for their situation, they even start to plan and elect a leader to take them back to Egypt. Number 4, bad judgments are spawned in an atmosphere of murmuring. Look at verse 10. Look at verse 10. But all the congregation bade them stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. So, the murmuring spirit is causing them now to want to basically kill Moses and Aaron and Joshua and Caleb and the people that are acting by faith. They're upset, so upset with them. Verse 9, only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. So this is Joshua talking and Caleb talking, right? And verse 10, all the congregation of Israel bad stone them with stones. So notice how the murmuring spirals out of control. Bad judgments are spurned in this atmosphere of murmuring. The murmuring Israelites decided that it would have been better to have died in Egypt. That's what verse 10 says, right? And they're ready to kill Joshua and Caleb over this, okay? Murmuring also often leads to self-pity. Murmurers often feel sorry for themselves and focus on how they've been mistreated, misused, and let down. And then murmuring thrives in an atmosphere of fear. Verse 9, only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. Why? Fundamentally, what is the reason they're murmuring? The reason they're murmuring is because of fear. They're afraid. They've heard a false, slanderous, evil report of the land. They're afraid. Their fear is now causing them to lash out against God, against Joshua, against Caleb, against anybody in this context, in this story, who's trying to operate and act on the basis of faith. Okay? So, murmuring is going to thrive there in an atmosphere of fear. Murmuring left unchecked usually breeds rebellion. So rather than listening to reason, the Israelites were ready to elect new leaders who would have overseen their rebellious plan. It's nothing but an act of sheer rebellion for them to say, nuts to this, let's get our own leader and let's go back to Egypt. And then last, the end result of a murmuring spirit is a general atmosphere of dissatisfaction. Criticism and complaining always lead to discontent. Now, come with me to Numbers 20. So, as you do that, just a couple comments. So, we see that murmuring is, number one, not an isolated thing. It's caused by fear. It has negative repercussions in many different ways. And it's ultimately breeding rebellion here amongst the children of Israel as we consider this, all right? Now, poor Moses. Numbers chapter 20, verse 1. Numbers chapter 20, verse 1. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month, and the people abode in Kanesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and Aaron. So this is the third time this has happened. And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. And why have ye brought up the congregation of the Lord into the wilderness? Now, why are they in the wilderness? They're in the wilderness because they didn't believe God. They didn't obey God. They're blaming Moses for that. Moses and Aaron and Joshua and Caleb, they believed God back there in chapter 14. Okay? Verse 4, and why have ye brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, and we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have ye made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us into this place of evil? It is no place of seed, nor of figs, or of vines, or of pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take thy rod, and gather thou the assembly together, and take thy rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts to drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, Hear ye, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? So is Moses angry? Moses is angry, and I have to be honest, I can't blame Moses. He's been dealing with this for over 40 years, pretty near, okay? Verse 11, and Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, Because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. So Moses eventually gets so frustrated with all the murmuring that Moses himself ends up disobeying God. God said, Speak to the rock. Moses is angry. Moses is carried away in his emotion. And he, instead of by faith doing what God told him to do, he hits the rock twice with his staff. God in his grace still provided the water there for the children of Israel. But Moses himself, because of all of this, ends up so distraught that he ends up disobeying God. Now, I'm not making an excuse for Moses. I'm just saying I can understand it to some degree why Moses would have felt that way. So, murmuring will take its toll on any person, on any local church, on any leader, on any pastor, on anybody who's trying to lead a group of people, especially during difficult times, especially during times that are fraught with all sorts of uncertainty and so on and so forth. Come back with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 2. Come back, if you would, to Philippians chapter 2. There's other examples that we could look at there in the Gospels. There's an example there in Acts 6 about some murmuring that the apostles had to address and deal with during the early Acts period. And then we have where we started is where I want to end, Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. It's pretty direct, straightforward admonition here from the Scripture. Why? That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. I just want to leave you with this thought. When the world sees believers murmuring and complaining, notice the verse. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. We need to be shining as lights in the world. We need to, when the world looks at us as believers, they need to see something different. They need to see something about us that they don't see in the lost world around them. And Paul is saying, by inspiration of God here, that this issue of murmuring and disputing, murmurings and disputings, that we should do all things without that. So we're to be deficient. We're to not have murmurings and disputings be what characterize us as believers. That, verse 15, the purpose and the intent, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. I don't think there's too many of us that would disagree with the fact. Now, I know Paul's saying this in the first century to people in Philippi, etc., but there's a lot going on in our nation that's crooked and perverse and wrong and ought not be happening on a lot of different fronts. But the reaction and the response of a believer should not be murmuring and disputing. That's not how we should be responding. That's not how we should be characterized. That's not how we should be known, what we should be known for as believers. So I just want to encourage you along those lines. And again, you can ask my wife, you can ask my kids. I'm not immune to my own, you know, I can murmur with the best of them, okay? I can let the flesh get to me and I can, you know, get upset. And I know I'm not sitting here saying that I'm sort of, you know, that I'm immune from all this. But what I'm saying is we need to be cognizant of this as saints. As members of the church, the body of Christ, we need to be cognizant of this because we can see by going back. You know, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10 that the things were written aforetime. I'm sorry, that's in Romans. He talks about how things that were happened in Israel were for our examples, right, and samples, and for us to learn from. And we can go back there and we can see the devastation that murmuring had on the nation of Israel. And we can surmise then, therefore extrapolate that if it was destructive then, it's destructive to the body of Christ today living in the dispensation of grace. So anyway, I appreciate your time in listening to the study, and we will be back at the assembly on Sunday morning, and we will continue our series of studies on the book of Colossians, and we'll get part two of a study on Colossians chapter 1, verse 23, and that if ye continue thing, we'll finish up that discussion, and we'll close that off this coming Sunday. So thanks for tuning in. Thanks for giving me your attention, those of you that have stuck with this throughout the whole time, and we will be seeing you later. Thanks.